Facebook last night what their early worship attendance was going to be this morning. And I'm sure that this is a case around a lot of Florida. People just don't know what to do when it gets this cold. Before we get started with our worship service this morning, I have just a few announcements that I'd like to go over with you. First, Coffee with the Pastors is happening next Sunday, January 31st, during the 9:40 hour in room 222. So if you've never entered into formal membership here at Trinity, this is your opportunity to talk about what that means, and we would love to see you there. Also, next Sunday, January 31st at 6 p.m. here in the Worship Center, we're going to have our annual pie auction. You can see the signs there. It's for the Friendship Accessibility Ministry to support that group who meets here regularly. We've been a longtime supporter of those of all accessibility. And so if you are going to be a part of the talent show, which we are always need more talent than we end up with, contact Julie Mishu, our youth director. Dan was telling me before the service began today that when President Fox was here, he was inspired by the fact that a university president would learn the whip and the nay-nay. So Dan has actually entered into the talent show and is going to do a dance. So you won't want to miss that. Of course, also, I did say it's a pie auction, and so if you would like to donate a baked good for this very worthy cause, please contact Kim Lorenz. We're still in need of some Lenten devotionals. Those are due to Jim Cook by February 1st, so you want to get those turned in. And as we get ready to do the mission box, I want to bring up the fact that the youth and adult medical mission to Nicaragua is going to be happening in March during spring break. But by February 2nd, they need all of the medical supplies that we've asked for. And if you look in the mission section of the bulletin, there's a list there of all the things that they're looking for donations. You can leave those there's a box here in the worship center, one in the education building, and one in the youth building. So those are the announcements. I'd like to have Dan come up and talk about today's mission box, which is for the Bethune-Cookman University Concert Chorale.
Thank you, Aaron. Before I do, you haven't said anything about... Oh, let me go ahead then. Lenora, would you stand up? This is very exciting. Lenora went through the Board of Ordained Ministry juggernaut the other day. Lots of preparation, lots of hard work, lots of paperwork, lots of passed with flying colors. So we want to celebrate Lenora. Lenora, very exciting. Tell us what this means, or this is the first step of a... this isn't the final step, but tell us what this means.
Oh, well, this is the beginning of them saying, yes, I am allowed to be a pastor when I graduate. So that's pretty amazing, considering I'll be finishing up 5 years of seminary this May. So that's the first exciting step that I'll take. I'll be commissioned in June and appointed, and then I look forward to ordination 3 years. As a provisional elder, but that's the journey that is ahead.
Yeah. It's a bit of a journey, but it's a great journey. And Aaron is close to that. You're writing now, and hopefully we'll have that final sort of deal. And Esther Rodriguez was approved at the board meeting this past week. So she'll be ordained in June. What's it called? Clergy in Full Connection, I think it's. Yeah, elder in full connection. So, Aaron's going to pray for you at the prayer time, but I wanted to be a part of celebrating that with you, Lenora. One of the beauties of the Methodist Church is we have these kind of things that we go through that help make sure that whoever comes to be a pastor is qualified and sorted things out. So we're grateful for that. Another beautiful thing about the Methodist Church is the many connections. And one of those is our university connection with Bethune-Cookman University. And the choir arrived here around 7 o'clock this morning. They're going to come in at the end of this hour because one of the songs ties right in with what Cliff is preaching on today. And our mission box today goes to support them. You may remember that David and Courtney Allen, who will be here later this morning, Courtney's mom is in Chan's, and Courtney's been up all week, but David and Courtney will be here as a part of this. They were scholarship through the choir program, and so the mission box goes to help support these students who sing all over the country. And so we're grateful for that and invite you to be generous. One of the things I noticed, no matter how these chairs are configured, you find the seats you normally sit in, don't you? That's kind of... yeah, except Cookie. And yeah. I said, Cookie, you didn't sit on the back row. She said, I couldn't find the back row. Any rate, enough frivolity. Where are we here? Oh, yeah. We're going to welcome home. So let's do our response. Welcome home. And why are we here? Let me pray with you. God, we give you thanks for this day and the beauty of it and for the coffee makers out there in the midst of the extreme cold. And we pray for them. We pray that the warmth of your love and power and spirit will be right here with us. Pray for this whole morning. We give you thanks for Reverend Cliff as a dear friend and colleague in ministry, and that he'll be sharing from the Word of God this morning. Bless our whole experience, we ask in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Would you please stand as we continue to worship together?
while we are standing as an act of worship, let us declare our faith together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Seated. I'd like to invite Rosemary Davis, our parish visitor, to come forward, and wanted to let you know that next Sunday we will be having a reception for Rosemary. Come on up, Rosemary. At the conclusion of all three services, just to honor Rosemary for her commitment to our church, her dedication as a parish visitor. This is actually the second to last Sunday that we'll be hearing this report from you, so we are so Well, we're so grateful for you, and why don't you update us on everything?
Good morning. I'm going to miss talking to you on Sunday morning, but I'll be around. And I've got a great replacement. Lenora's going to take over, so it's going to be a good transition. We've had a busy week at the hospital. As you can see, Loretta Beasley, who's Richard Quackenbush's sister and used to be a part of this church, now lives in Houston, had a massive stroke while she was visiting here, and her condition is quite critical. So please keep Lori as she goes by in your prayers. Her husband is a Methodist minister in Houston, so keep this family in your prayers. Robin Harris is Courtney's mom, and Courtney Allen, and she's quite ill as well with pneumonia, so keep her in your prayers. Joanne Thayer has gotten... Dan saw her yesterday, and she's gotten off the ventilator. So pray that she can stay off of the ventilator. That's a huge step and a very important one. So keep Joanne and Paul in your prayers. And Janet Hobson had to have another back surgery. A screw came loose in her back, so she had to go back for repairs. So it's very painful, so keep Janet in your prayers. Bonnie Peabody moved to rehab and doing well with her new knees, so that's good news. And Irene Ford is coming along well, and Ken Morris as well. Actually, Son is not in rehab, but he covets our prayers, so keep Son in your prayers as well. Oh, and I got word that Ed Kazam is in Brooks Rehab in Jacksonville, so keep him in your prayers. Also, Dot Anthony, who's a longtime member of the church, died on January 17th, and her obituary is in the paper today. And Dot and Tony were just a delightful couple and an important part of this church. So keep Dot's daughter in your prayers and her family. Let's see. Also, those who are undergoing cancer treatment, Janice Bryant, Stuart Collins, Julie Macchio, Judy Rembert, Susan Schaefer, and Roger Swanger. So please keep all of these people in your prayers, and thank you so much for being such willing and powerful prayer people.
And thank you, Rosemary. We also want to continue to remember Phyllis Mawinney in our prayers. Her husband, Bob, was remembered yesterday. They in the chapel at 2 o'clock, packed out the chapel. Lots of people came from all over for that. It was a great service. So let us unite our hearts now and go to God in prayer. God of infinite love and boundless grace, we pause on this chilly morning to thank you for this day, to thank you for gathering us together in the community of God's people here in this sanctuary. As we worship you, God, we pray that all that is said, all that is sung, scripture that is read, word that is proclaimed, this time together just bring glory to your holy name, and that we all be built up by having gathered together with each other and in your presence. We do pray, God, that healing and wholeness that is in your wings is brought to these folks that we have mentioned aloud here this morning. May you, as our divine healer, put your healing touch upon them, surround them with knowledge of your presence in their lives. Also comfort those who provide their care, provide wisdom to the doctors and the nurses and the staff. We give you thanks, God, for the Bethune-Cookman Choir who made the journey here this morning to be with us this day. And we pray for their leading us in your worship this morning. We give thanks for Reverend Patrick, who is going to be bringing your word today. May you speak through him in a powerful way that touches each and every one of us, changing our hearts and lives so that we might become more fully who you need us to be. We give this time to you, God. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, glory forever. Amen.
As the ushers come, I want to just mention three quick things. One of you asked earlier if the 940 is going to be live streamed, and I believe it is. And if you haven't gone on to see the live stream, you ought to do that sometime. So, but I know others of you said you're going to be here all morning because you want to be here for this and the Bethune next service. So If you go out, thank the coffee makers. It's really cold out there. And notice the nice artwork on the, Bob, what do you call that? The coffee shroud. Yeah, the artwork is in, and it's amazing, and we're so grateful for that. One other quick thing, February 3rd, a Wednesday night, we're having Leaving a Legacy seminar about a personal legacy, a legacy maybe to the church. It'd be room 232, and somebody from the Foundation for the United Methodist Church will be here to guide us in that. Pray with me now. God, we give you thanks for the privilege of giving towards the work of your kingdom, and we ask your blessings now upon these gifts toward that end. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Thank you. Thank you, Chalice. I think you want to express affirmation and appreciation to Tom Huffman for that beautiful solo. Tom, thanks. Tom, somebody before the service said, that Tom Huffman, he's singing a solo. He's so humble. He had an amazing career in the Marines, and he's got lots of black belts. And what is the art that you do? IKEA. Do you want to do a demonstration on Aaron? No, I'm kidding. And at 9:40, before the 9:40 service, Tom is, so you might not know this, but Tom is out on that corner greeting everybody, knows everybody's name as they come in. And Tom, everybody appreciates that. Thank you very much. Cliff Patrick, many of you know Cliff, had a great career in the Navy and the Air Force. After retiring from that, he's been in ministry for 20 years or so. But we know him mainly as a colleague and a friend and somebody who served Bartley Temple and other places. But we're really grateful that he and Rose have become a part of the Trinity. As Ann Knight said, we're a church, but we're really family, and we're part of the family. And Cliff, we're so grateful that you're preaching with us this morning. Let's give a warm welcome to Cliff Patrick.
Good morning. Thank you, Dan. Thank all of you who came out on this cold morning. First, I would like to say Rosa is not with me this morning. She is in Atlanta. One of our daughters is receiving a national award for nursing. And she went there to be with her. So that's why she's not here. I just thank God for Dan for giving me an opportunity to come and say a word on this morning. That's a wonderful thing to do. I don't know about you, but today I have many questions about what's going on. One of my questions is, why is there so much hatred? Why is there so much violence? Why so much greed? So much lust for control and domination? Why do we have all of these things? And I thought to myself, I said, well, maybe I could send a tweet to Dr. Phil or Oprah. I'm sure that they would have an answer. And I thought also, I said, well, maybe I could go to Barnes & Noble and find a book that the latest authority has written, some bestseller that would have some answers. But then I remembered that I already own a copy of the number one bestseller of all time. That's the Bible, the Word of God. So I said, you know, it would make sense to go see what God has to say about the situation. You see, God is the ultimate authority on man. He made man. He know all about him. He know his thoughts. He know all the inward things of man. What does God have to say about man? Well, what does Genesis chapter 6, verse 5? And this is what God had to say about man. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inkling of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil at all times. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, with them the animals, the birds, the creatures that
move along the ground, for I regret that I made them. And then I sit there and I read that and I was thinking, I said, boy, if the world was worse then it is now, I just can't imagine what they could be doing that was more evil or wicked than what happened right now. But we see God really loved man so much. He created man in his own image. Not exactly like him, but in his image. There were a couple of things that God kept from man. But he tried to warn man because he knew man and he knew what man would become. So in the beginning, when he put him in the Garden of Eden, he told him, say, the tree that's in the midst of the garden, the one with knowledge of good and evil. See, man only knew good. But God knew, like Jack Nicholas told him in the movie, man was not able to handle evil. No man didn't have the power to handle evil. But God still being good, first he said, well, I would destroy it all. But then he found a man by the name of Noah. One who loved God. One who was living righteous. So here he makes, a deal with Noah. Say, look, Noah, since you are a good man, I'm going to get rid of all of this evil stuff. Wouldn't it be great if God get rid of all the evil today? We might be a part of it. We may not want to wish that. But God said, I will get rid of all the evil, Noah. We'll wipe out all of that bad stuff. Start over again. Just you and your family. But as we can see today, even starting over again, man still returned to Eve. As it says in the scripture, man had, to use my word, a defect in his heart. It just had that evil on the inside. But God still didn't give up on man. God still had a plan that man would be able to live in accordance with God's love and God's word and God's design. So God sent his son. He sent his son Jesus to come down and to lay out this plan, to let man know that if he want to be correct, if he desires to have the power over evil, God was ready to fix it for him. First, he sent John the Baptist, as we know him, said, go down and prepare the way. Let them know that I'm sending a correction for them along the way. Go tell the world that they need to repent. They need to see themselves and know that they are wicked and evil on the inside. Tell them that they need to repent. Have a change of mind about sin. Have a change of mind about the things that they're doing. Turn away from what they're doing. Let them know that if they repent and they believe on the Son that I'm sending after you, then they'll be able to have a changed heart and a changed mind. Jesus came and began to teach among the people. He came first to the Israelites, who were God's people, who were supposed to be the example. They were the ones through whom God said, I will send an answer for your problems today. When Jesus came, walked on this earth as a natural man, first to demonstrate that with the flesh, if you are able to live right, it's only because of God's power on the inside. Jesus walked on this earth and lived and walked according to God's word. Carried out all of the promises that God had promised. Fulfilled the scriptures. One of the things that he told them during his time on the earth, a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was very good. He carried out all of the ordinances. He carried out all of the rituals. He did everything just right. In fact, he was a part of the Sanhedrin Council. I say like the mission board that ordination board that we're talking about. But anyway, here, Nicodemus came to Jesus. Nicodemus said, now, I know you. You came from God. The things that you are doing, people just can't do them on their own. You came from God. But Jesus told Nicodemus, here is this good man, this religious man, the man who served on all the boards, the man who paid his tithes, the man who reached out. Jesus told Nicodemus, you know, Nicodemus, if you're going to see the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. You've got to have a life-changing experience. So now if you go to our scriptures, in Luke chapter 14, beginning about verse 15, Jesus is speaking with his disciples. And he's letting them know now how that they will be able to receive this new power. How they would be able to move from being a wicked evil person to now to be a child of the living God. He will let them know now that you can fix that defect that's in your heart if you so desire. So he told him, see, now if you love me, keep my commandments. I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive him. The world, those unbelievers, those that don't believe, those that don't believe in the Spirit, those that don't will not accept the born-again experience, those that will not accept the abiding of the Spirit in our heart. The world cannot receive him because it neither see him nor know him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I in you. Whosoever has my commandments and keepeth them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to them. You see, Jesus is letting us know here that he is coming, and I'll say this. He's letting us know that he is coming, and he's coming to make a difference in our individual lives. If your life is still the same after you believe in Jesus, you need to go back and check yourself and see if you truly believe in Jesus. Because when Jesus comes, wherever he is, he makes a difference in their life. He makes a difference in the person. And one thing about him, is when he comes into your heart, it makes a change. You're now able to love people that even hate you. You see, it's amazing to me sometimes how people who believe that they are great Christians, but yet they still in their heart have a lot of hate. It's hard for me to understand how a man could go walk into a Bible study, sit there for an hour, and then kill all of the people that are present. It's hard for me to see how a person can say, yes, I am a child of the living God, but yet they will walk into some store, walk into some school, and just start shooting people. It's hard for me to understand when somebody say that they are a child of God and then kill all of their family, all of their children. Hard for me to understand how they can say that they truly love God. God said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. His commandment is that we love God with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. I know I'm getting loud, y'all, but I can't help it when it. I know some of you probably sitting up here, head hung down to the Lord, have mercy, why Dan turned him loose up in here this moment. Dan know he's leaving soon. He ain't worried about it. But see, I got you. I'm praying that the next pastor come in will have a vision to use the retired pastors like me and Eric and Richard, that they'll give us a little bit more time to get up here. Yeah, we. But back to where I am here, about the answer to today's question, why is man so evil? It's because man has an evil spot in him. And the only way we can correct this world is not by changing individuals through gun control. You cannot stop a man from killing by stopping him from buying a gun. But if you can convince him to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you can just convince him that he needs to be born again, then you can do more than all of Congress and everybody else is trying to do. God, Judas, as the scripture said, I'll back to my scripture, I know y'all see you jumping around, but see, usually I have 45 minutes to an hour, and I can take my time and stretch it out. But I'm almost through because the choir come in, and they're going to sing a song for you here. So I got to give them a space. Amen. But I teach Sunday school, and I forgot to recognize my Sunday school class. Y'all, forgive. I want to recognize the Fisherman Sunday School class for coming out this morning. Yeah, they got up early to come out of the cold for me. Come back on the January, I believe it's 7th, in the Sunday School, and we'll talk some more about this thing. But anyway, right now, what I'm trying to get you to see is stop going running behind all of these people who think they got the answers for today's problem. Forget about those books. Forget about those TV programs that claim they have the answer. The answer for today's problem is being in Jesus Christ, being born again and filled with God's Holy Spirit. That's the answer for today's problem. Once you receive that Spirit of God, you have power then to live right. You have power over the evil. You have power over hatred. You have power over the violence. Why? Because God is with you. God said that we will come. But Judas said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to the world and not to us? Did you get the next verse? I guess we forgot. Okay. If you love me and obey my teachings. Amen. If you love me and obey my teachings, then I'll come. See, now, you can't say you're obeying God's teaching and that you love God and you don't love me. He said you can't say that you love him and you have never seen and don't love your neighbor that you see all the time. You can't say, well, I love Dan, but I don't like Clifford because he's too loud. God, Dan is smooth. See, Dan is so smooth. But anyway, to wrap this up, God is saying to us today the answer. See, he knew way ahead of time what would happen during this time. He already knew. So he prepared way back there with Jesus. He set in motion a plan that we would be ready when all of this evil comes. We would already be ready to withstand it. So God had already sent the answer a long time ago. The answer is in Jesus. That's the answer to all of the questions about hatred, about violence, about greed, about control. The answer is Jesus. So as we move forward, teaching others, showing others, then we want them to know that we must love God and keep his commandments. I'm going to ask the choir if they would come at this time and prepare for our final song. Wonderful group. I hope that all of you will open your wallets this morning and donate to the mission box. God is good all the time. Amen. Love him. Keep his commandments. That is the answer to today's problem. God bless you. Pastor Dan said, you had time for one more if you wanted to.
Bethune-Cookman University Choir, thank you very much. We're so grateful you got up. What time did you have to get up this morning? 3. Oh, that deserves another round of applause. Thank you all. Now, how many of you from Detroit, Michigan? Oh, yeah, the director, Damon Dandridge. I heard them 2 years ago. We've always loved Bethune-Cookman University Choir. I heard them 2 years ago at the pastor's school, and wow, these folks are amazing, even more than. And then I noticed a lot of people from Detroit, Michigan, and I found out Damon used to live there and brought a bunch of folks from the cream of the crop, as it were, back to Bethune-Cookman. Anyway, great to have all of you here. Thanks for being here this morning. And would you stand for the benediction, and then Cliff's going to greet you at the door on the way out. God, send us forth. Filled with your Spirit, with a passion to obey your commands, to love one another. And when we fail, God, forgive us. We ask and renew us to be your people in this world today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.